We're going to turn our attention now to God's Word. You can go ahead and turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. So we're beginning a new series today, so we're going to be in a topical series. So Deuteronomy chapter 6 is our starting place for this series. And we're going to have another, just a prayer moment here for some of God's work in our country. We're part of a denomination called the Evangelical Free Church of America. And our denomination has asked us to set aside this Sunday for a time of prayer for the multiplication of churches. And so I'm going to show a video in just a moment, but the mission statement of our denomination is to multiply transformational churches among all peoples. And so I think as we watch this video and as we pray this morning, it's good for us to know that it's not just our little church here in Findlay, Ohio, who's, you know, chugging along trying to do our best. We're part of a broader movement, not only in our denomination, but of Christians across the world. I mean, we already heard Chris speak today of the work that's being done in Nicaragua. And so let's watch this video and we'll prepare our hearts for a time of prayer.
There is a need, a harvest to be reaped and gathered. There are people of every color, culture, ethnicity, and demographic in the cities around us without the hope, direction, and joy found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Evangelical Free Church of America, as a movement, is grounded in the idea of church multiplication. Churches planting and multiplying churches for the sake of transforming every culture, every community, and every individual through the power of the gospel. Together, we can follow after God's call to go and make disciples. Together, we can have real, lasting, eternal impact on our neighbors and become part of God's transcendent work. This isn't just an opportunity, it's a command. And it's a command for all of us. Today, we're asking for 50,000 prayers, 50,000 voices lifted up across the nation, calling out for the making of disciples and the planting of churches. We're asking you to seek out where you fit into this great commandment, whether it's commitment through prayer, giving of time, talents, and resources, or even joining a church planting team. We are the body of Christ, each of us built for loving relationship with each other across cultural, ethnic, and societal lines. It's time for us to go together and be Jesus to our neighbors around us. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Will you join us?
All right, there's the call to prayer. So would you join me in prayer? For the multiplication of churches, as well as the multiplication of disciples. God, we pause for prayer now, along with our other brothers and sisters in Christ, in the Evangelical Free Church, throughout this whole morning across this country. And we lift our voices and ask that you, Almighty God, would send out more workers into your harvest field. God, that even some of us sitting here would answer that call and be more active or even give ourselves over to it full time with the time that we have. God, we do pray for the multiplication of disciples, that more people can come to know Jesus here in Findlay and beyond, that you would bring in a harvest that has been unseen in the history of our church or in the history of our town as we all work together as Christians and then specifically in this church. Lord, as we think about your work through the launching of Lighthouse and now the two of us working together to launch new works in the near future, we ask that it would be Spirit-led and that you would bring about success as we try to follow you in this endeavor. So we pause for this time of prayer. We call upon your name that the harvest would continue to come in and you'd send out laborers through the Evangelical Free Church and through our local church. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me in prayer for that this morning. Now, just as we want to see churches multiply and disciples multiply, we want to see families multiplying disciples within themselves. And so we're going to talk today about how we can do that as families. Our new series is called Reboot and Getting Your Family Back on Track, having God's vision for your family and playing that out. Because you know, that we are in a spiritual battle for the souls of our children. There's all sorts of distractions in this world that can keep us from our main task of making disciples within our home. You feel it. Perhaps this afternoon you're running off to some soccer games for your grandkids or kids. There's busyness in sports. There's busyness in work. There's busyness in travel. There's all sorts of wonderful things that our prosperous nation offers that are joys, but also can be a distraction to the main ministry that we have as families, and that is to make disciples. And so here's the crisis that we face. You see this clock, and you may not be able to see it, but you know this well. There's a little second hand that keeps ticking. And every time that goes around once, there's 60 seconds gone and a minute is gone. And 60 minutes means an hour. And 24 hours means a day. And 365 days means a year. And then we look back and it's like, wow, that decade went by really quickly. And so while you and I are off chasing all the different pursuits of the world, what can happen is that we squander moments to build into the lives of our children spiritually and to give them what really matters in life, and that is to pass on the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is what we're up against. And so that means we need to be really super duper intentional with the time that we have. You know, most of our children are in our homes for 18 years, let's say, Lord willing. But really the impact that we have is from age 0 to age 11 or 12. That's where the biggest impact comes, because after that they get, you know, they kind of get tired of mom and dad, and you're not as cool as you used to be, and they grow their own will and independence, which is good, because we want them to leave eventually, right? To become adults, to go out and launch out. And so we have to have this vision of making disciples in our home. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been driving around in my car, and I've noticed that there's this really cloudy film that's getting on my windshield and on my driver's side window. And I was driving around for a couple weeks. I'm like, I need to get to that. I need to wipe that off. Well, finally Friday, I was like, forget this. I'm just taking 2 or 3 minutes. So I grabbed a towel out of my garage and I wiped the film off of the inside of my car windshield and off my driver's side window. It was amazing how well I could see when I cleared away the film off of my windshield. And so driving into the office Friday morning, the sun was shining and it was just brand new clear vision. And that's what we need. We need God's clear vision for our families, whether you have children at home or whether you have grandkids in the family that you can still impact and influence. We need His clear vision. And so I ask you, does your family need a reboot? Do you need to start again? Do you need that clear vision? Maybe a wiping off of the vision so that you can see it more clearly again. So we're going to speak today out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, I have a special guest today who's going to read the scripture for us. And so I recorded a video of my daughter Mara this week. And so if you want to follow along in Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 through 9, she's going to do the reading for us. So let's have her.
Hi, I'm Mara Hayward, and this is Ruby, but I am going to read the Bible verses of Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on doorposts of your house and on your gates.
All right, there she is. She's read our scripture for today. All right, so let's dig in together. Today I want to talk from this passage about, first of all, God's vision for your family, and then to talk about some strategies for carrying out that vision. Now, a couple of things here. Now, some of you maybe in a different situation in life. You don't have a family. Maybe you're single. Maybe you don't have kids of your own. But remember, this is the household of God. This is the family of God. And so you can both be influenced and be an influencer even if you don't have children of your own. And so there's broader application for what I'm talking about today. Family specifically, yes, but also the broader family of God. I think about our children's ministry. I think about our youth ministry that Pastor Scott was talking about and how there's people in different life situations impacting kids all the time. And so every one of us can have a role, small or big, in the discipling of our children and families. Okay? So God's vision for your family is discipleship. Discipleship. What is discipleship? Discipleship is training our children to know, to love, and to witness for Jesus Christ. I'm getting this from actually Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Let's just glance there in our Bibles. So just before we started into verse 4. But you'll notice this. Moses says, "The Lord your God has commanded me to teach you," and then look in verse 2, "so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God." That's discipleship. God to Moses, Moses to the parents to the children to the grandchildren. That's what discipleship looks like. So one generation passing the faith on to the next. Okay, so you see that very clearly. Discipleship, being a student of Jesus, being a follower of Jesus. Paul Tripp, in his book called Parenting, and we have these resources out in the lobby, states that parents are ambassadors for Christ in our homes. And so here's what this means. It is more important that our children know and follow Jesus Christ than it is for them to get high scores on their tests so that they're eligible for more college scholarships. Now, I'm all for scholarships, but the most important thing is that they know Christ. It is more important that our children know and love Jesus Christ than it is for them to make the travel soccer team. That's right, I said it. I said it. I just threw it out there, okay? And in a country that idolizes sports and expects every child to be on TV in 18 years from now, we've got to have a better perspective in our Christian homes about what it is to disciple our children and to use the little bit of time that we have to influence them during their most influential years so that when they grow up to be our age, they'll have godly priorities, perhaps even better than what we do in our lives. Okay, so that is God's vision for our family, discipleship, being ambassadors in our home for our children, for Christ, for our children. All right, now what I love about God is he doesn't just tell us what to do. He tells us how to do it. Okay, so let's continue in this passage and look at strategies for family discipleship. The first one is to begin with the end in mind. You've heard this concept in business and in your school systems. What do you want to produce? So you draw out your preferred future, and then you backstep it. Okay, what do I need to do all the way back here in order to get me to where we need to go? And so what are we trying to produce and develop in our homes? Disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, quick aside, this is not like a factory assembly line. The human soul cannot be packaged like that. Of course we need God's work. Of course it's the work of the Holy Spirit to cause our children to be born again by faith in Jesus Christ. Of course we need the power of God's word, but we can be influencers of our children for Christ. And so what are we looking to develop in our homes? Disciples. We want our children to be disciples of Jesus Christ who are rooted deep with God, one another, and reaching wide into the world. So I think about my own family. We want our two girls, Gina and I, to know Christ. They've both professed faith in Christ, thankfully, and over the years we want to see that grow. And so we want to see them being rooted deep with God. We want our kids to know Christ, to have a love for the Word, and to be communicating with God in prayer. We want them to be rooted deep with one another. We want them to see the value of the church and the value of relationships and the value of giving to others as well as receiving from the church family. We want them to be reaching wide into the world, that they, and Lord willing, into the future with their husbands, that they would be people who work for Christ, sharing the gospel, bringing God's healing to a needy world. And that's our hope, that's our prayer. Lord willing, right? But this is what we're trying to produce, trying to develop in the lives of our kids. And so begin with the end in mind. Second strategy, teach your children who God is. Okay, now, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. So in our scripture today, we have a command. Hear, listen, pay attention, wake up. And get this right. Okay, here, listen to this. The Lord our God, He is one. So we're to teach our kids that there is one God. The God who's revealed Himself through the Bible. The God who's revealed Himself supremely in His Son, Jesus Christ. We're to teach our children the nature of God, that He is one God. That He exists eternally in three persons as one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All equally divine, but differing in roles. Teach them about God's perfection. Teach our children and grandchildren about His holiness and His goodness and His love and His justice and His omniscience. He always knows everything. His omnipresence. He's everywhere. So when you're apart from mom and dad, God is there, both as a promise and a warning. God's always watching you, even if mama doesn't have her eyes on you. All right? And then of God's justice. God, let's do what's right in the sight of God because He knows what's right and is what's right. Teach our children that this almighty Creator wants a personal relationship with them. Look at there in verse 4. The Lord, our God. He's our God. This is personal. This isn't just God created us and then He'll come back and visit us 1,000 years later. No, He's intimately involved in the lives of our everyday lives. He is our God. Teach our children Romans 5:8. Do you know that one? God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He is our God, a personal God. He loves us. Even though we rebel against Him, even though we forget about Him and become indifferent and cold in our hearts at times, He is our God. He is the personal God. So teach your children who God is. It's especially important in this world when we're getting a whole bunch of garbage out there about who God is not and what God is not. And so we have to bring the Word to bear and teach our children who God is. Third strategy, teach your children to love God wholeheartedly. We see this in verse 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. The NET Bible makes this comment. It says, love in this setting communicates not so much an emotional idea as one of covenant, commitment. To love the Lord is to be absolutely loyal and obedient to Him in every respect, a truth Jesus Himself taught, such as in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay, so this is covenant loyalty to God that we do love. We have affection for and adoration for Him, absolutely. But it's loyalty to God. Teach our kids that. You see, we need to teach our kids that this God is so wonderful and so glorious and so marvelous that He's worthy of our total life devotion. With all your heart, all your soul, all your might, means all of your effort. Had a seminary professor, my introduction to Old Testament, when we got to this part, he'd say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and all your... That's what that word means. Love God with all of your... All your effort. See, I remember it from 15 years ago, and you're going to remember it now 15 years later, too. That's what that word means. All of your effort, everything in you, all of your strength, love God with everything you absolutely have. So that means our intellect, our will, our emotions, our affections, our actions, both in body and spirit, are to demonstrate love and loyalty to this awesome God who loves us. Now, so far we've been sort of in the area of the head, okay? Now we move to the area of the heart, and I'm speaking about the heart of the parent and the grandparent. This is not a formula that can be coldly implemented, sort of like mathematics, whether you care about it or not, 2 + 2 = 4. There's nothing you can do about it, okay? But this needs to be modeled in love. You have to demonstrate love for God out of a love relationship with God and with your children. Think about this. The best example we have of discipleship for the family is Jesus himself, who, by the way, was single. He drew 12 men to himself, and they traveled together for 3.5 years. They walked together. They ate together. These 12 had a front row seat to his private life as well as his public ministry. And one time, Jesus was praying to his Father, and the disciples said to him, "Teacher, teach us to pray." Why do you think the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray? Because they noticed something in his prayer life that was so magnetic and so attractive that he had an intimacy with the Father that was just blowing their minds, and like, we want to pray like that. We want to know what it's like to know the Father the way that you know. And they spent all this time with him, and they noticed that he loved the Father above all other things, all other relationships in his life. Now take this to the family. In the family, you have, if the Lord should bless you with children or has blessed you with children, you have built-in disciples. So when those kids come into the world, there you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many you got, you have disciples in your family. And you're the discipler as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. So here's the litmus test. Have our children ever asked us about our relationship with God? Have they ever said, "Dad, I want to learn the Bible the way that you learned the Bible. Mom, would you teach me to pray the way that you pray?" You see, if that vision of God for our family of discipleship is actually playing out, I think we're going to hear some of these questions from our kids. "Teach me to do what you do. Teach me to know God the way that you know God." Because you're living it out. You're living out this love for God right in front of them. And eventually, hopefully, they'll ask and say, "How can I have that?" So we need to teach our children to love God wholeheartedly. Dave was a big guy with a beard and a ball cap. And he sat in my office many years ago when I was pastoring in Michigan. And I was friends with Dave's son. His son's name is Dane. Dave was going on about how he was so concerned about Dane, who was about 18 or 19 at the time. "I just want him to take his faith more seriously. I want him to be in church. I'm concerned about him." Now, I knew Dave and his wife, Cindy, and they've been part of the church probably 2 or 3 years at that point. Dave and Cindy's attendance at church was quite infrequent. Cindy, more than Dave, was actually at church. And so, being a young pastor with this older man in my office, I worked up the nerve and I said, "Dave, if you want Dane to take God more seriously, then you need to be here more often. You see, he's trying to have produced in his son that which he's unwilling to do himself. He sort of wants to snap his fingers and all of a sudden have his son involved and interested in God when he himself is not displaying that at all. When you drop off your kids through these doors, it's not some sort of magic pill that they're all of a sudden going to become disciples of Jesus Christ. We get your kids for about 1 hour a week. You have them for, I don't know how many, 168 hours in a week? Is that what it is? More than 1 hour, let's just say it that way. So who do you think has the most impact on their kids spiritually? You do in your home. Okay? And so we model what it looks like to love God. Now, I want to ask you today, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Have you come? Because you can't give away what you don't have. And if you've never come to the point where you have confessed your sins, you've turned from those sins, you've received Jesus Christ by faith and embraced him as the only provision of your salvation, you've got to do that. That's the starting place. You'll never influence anybody for Christ unless you know him yourself and he can pour his life through you. And so if you need to trust in Christ, I pray that you'll do that. Even right now, you can say, God, I recognize my sin before you. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you were raised again. And I want to say, I'm sorry for my sins. Please come into my life, forgive me, and be my leader from this day forward. Call out to him by faith, and he'll come in, he'll start to change you, and you'll be a completely different person. And then you'll be able to pass on the faith to your children and to those who are around you. You see, our children will learn priorities based on how we live our lives. If love for God is obvious, it will be much easier for them to love him too. Okay? So that's the third strategy, is teaching our children to love God wholeheartedly. Now let's move on to the fourth strategy. And the fourth strategy really informs the rest of them. Okay? And it's to teach your children to love God's word. You can see that real clearly in your Bibles, verses 6 through 9. First of all, in verse 6, these words shall be on your heart. Once again, you can't give away what you're not taking in yourself. And so please don't expect some youth leader or children's leader to infuse all of God's word into children within 1 hour per week, when we could be in our homes using the time that we have to giving it to them on a weekly basis. Think of it in these terms. You ever do any gardening and you have some of those soaker hoses? You know, you just sort of leave it on all day and there's just a slow leak and it waters the flower beds. That's a great picture of discipleship in the home. You know, children don't really respond very well when you take out the hose and you just like pull it on full blast and they get a big blast for like 1 minute. It's not great. Okay, you need just a slow leak over time. You water the faith of your children. I think about a friend of mine who was explaining one time he was a Christian, he would say, but he didn't know much about the Bible, so he's reading a children's Bible storybook to his daughter at bedtime, and she starts asking him questions. Dad, what about this about God? What about this about God? And he doesn't know. You ever had that experience where your child is a greater theologian than you are? And then that spurred him on to dig into the word for himself. He's like, man, I got to be able to answer these questions. And so as he grew stronger in his faith, he did that through the Bible, and he's able to then lead his family much better. Now notice verse 7. This is very key. We are to teach our children diligently, diligently. So I did some study this week and found out some interesting things about this word. This is an intensive word. It means to pierce, to sharpen. The NET Bible puts it this way, engrave them onto the hearts of your children. Drill them into your children. The Message says this, write these commandments that I've given to you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you and get them inside of your children. I like that. So this word is speaking about intentionality, priority, purposefulness. Here's a warning, though. Some of us have personalities that can be rather military, militant. And so when you hear, drill them into your children, please don't go home and say, you know, attention, get to the table. It's time for family devotions. Have you read your Bible this week? Don't spit on your kids either. You don't respond well to that type of commands. those types of commandments, and your children won't either. So don't hear impressing them onto the lives of your children through force, but remember, we want to teach children love for God, loving God wholeheartedly and passing it. So how do you approach your kids with the word in order to soak it into their lives so that they'll respond in love for God also? But this word does tell us about intentionality, getting it done properly. All right, so how are we to teach our kids? Here's further strategies. Look at verse 7. It says, talk of them when you sit in your house. So that's in the family room. This afternoon, I'm certain some of you are going to turn on some football, right? Why not, during a commercial or during halftime, just bring up something that you've been learning in God's Word? Like, for instance, I read Psalm 5 this morning in my devotion. I learned that God is He's my King and my God. He has abundant loving kindness. Could you just make a comment sometime this afternoon and say, hey, I was reading in my Bible this morning, and I learned about God's abundant loving kindness, and it made me think of how He really came through for our family last week. Okay? Talk of them while you're sitting in your family room. Talk of them when you go by the way. So when you're out and about, you're going to Meijer, you're going to Kroger, you're going out to the grocery stores. Can you talk to your kids and grandkids about God? All right? Thirdly, when you lie down, a great time to build into the lives of our children is at bedtime. You know, things are quiet, things are settled down, hopefully, finally, and you get an opportunity to read a Bible story to them or to pray or say, hey, what's going on in your heart? What are you thinking about? And you can bring it back to your kids, okay? Bring up faith to your kids. When you rise up in the morning, one thing you could do, let's say, for instance, son or your daughter has a big test coming up, whether they're young or whether they're old, you can say, well, remember, it says in Romans 8, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And so God's on your side as you go off to school today or as you go off to work today. Okay, you're just bringing up the word in everyday life. And I think this type of strategy coupled with some family devotion times where you sit down together is a very effective strategy because it shows us that the Bible, all right, listen to this, the Bible is not just for Sunday morning for the preacher to get up here and spew forth some wisdom from it. This scripture, verse 7, tells us that the Bible is for everyday life, every moment. When you are waiting 25 minutes in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A for your milkshake, you can be talking with your kids, whether they're young or whether they're grown, about the Lord, right? Let's redeem the time. All right, so we've learned these strategies today. God's vision for our family is discipleship. We're ambassadors for Christ in our homes. We are to begin with the end in mind. We want our kids to come and know the love of to love the Lord. We're to teach them who God is. We're to demonstrate love for God wholeheartedly, and we're to love His word. So question, is your vision for your family, God's vision for your family? Where have we gotten off track? And I say we because we're not 100% on point all the time either. Is this a time for us to sort of hit the reboot button for our lives and what we're doing in the life of our family with our kids and grandkids? So here's a couple of things that we can do, specific things. So if we need to hit the reboot button, here's what we can do. First of all, we can memorize Matthew 22:37 together. In fact, I love for all of us to read it because over the next 7 weeks, we're going to memorize it together as a church. And so hopefully you can do it at home too. So let's read it together. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Okay, we put that into the lives of our kids and in our own lives. We can think about it while we're out and about. Secondly, have a family Bible reading plan. And we've put one together for us here at the church for this series. Specifically, you can use it over the next 4 weeks. If you go to our website, you'll see the reboot picture on the main page. Click on it. It'll take you to this page. And then where the red circle is, you can click here for a family Bible reading plan. And it's got 5 readings per week for the next 4 weeks. And so that gives us a plan to just interact together as a family and to be talking about some of these things that we're going to be talking about here from this pulpit. A third thing that you can do is you can have a family mission statement. And what I mean by that is, what are we trying to do with our kids? Right? So if you're married, you can talk about that. If you're a single parent, you can say, okay, what do I want to be instilled in the life of my child? So when my child is my age, I'll be 42 here in a few weeks. So when Regan and Mara are 42, what things do I want to have to see in their lives? Okay, now back up. What do I need to do now to help influence that so that those qualities become true in their lives? And so in our own family, our mission statement has 3 points. It's to glorify God in all we do, to testify about the Lord, and to multiply a godly legacy in the life of our kids. So glorify God, testify about Him, and to multiply a godly legacy. So some things that Gina and I are taking advantage of is the Bible, okay? So we talk about it, and I said this last week, my wife is wonderful about these things, snatching up little moments throughout the day and saying, okay, now this is why we as a family do this, and that's why we don't do what your friends are talking about. And so she snatches those moments up. We've taken advantage of the church in a good way. Our kids are involved in Treehouse Kids Ministry and the Impact Student Ministry, and so many of you have built into their lives, and we're a broader family, and I hope that we've done the same with your kids and grandkids too, is building into their lives. And so we're trying to take advantage of all these different opportunities to raise our kids for Christ. All right? And so I want to remind you of today's main point. Time is ticking away. Okay? And so God's vision for our families is discipleship. Discipleship. All right, let's pray together. Our worship team's going to come and we're going to sing a final hymn. Lord, I thank you for this passage. It's very practical. I thank you for your grace, because we don't always do everything we should as parents, but it's a reminder of our need for you, and then let it be a reminder of our opportunity to pass grace on to our children. And so I pray that during this series you would strengthen families, strengthen homes, and that we can be intentional with the times that we do have with our children, and that you would honor that. We need your help. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.